Monday of the 23rd week of Ordinary Time. 1 Corinthians 5:1-8. Brothers and sisters, it is widely reported that there is immorality among you, and immorality of a kind not found even among pagans, a man living with his father's wife. And you are inflated with pride. Should you not rather have been sorrowful? The one who did these things should be expelled from your midst. I, for my part, although absent in body, but present in spirit, have already, as if present, pronounced judgment on the one who has committed this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you have gathered together, and I am with you in spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not appropriate. Do you not know that a little yeast leavens all the dough? Clear out the old yeast, so that you may become a fresh batch of dough, inasmuch as you are unleavened. For our Paschal Lamb, Christ, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The word of the Lord. Dear family, in this year of mercy, we need to pray and seek understanding about what is mercy in the light of God. For example, is St. Paul acting mercifully on this event, expelling someone from the community and delivering this person to Satan? And the answer is yes, it is a merciful decision. For the sake both of the man and for the good of the community. You see, we need to distinguish between the fact that we all are sinners and we all fall and struggle, but if we flaunt it, if we publicly celebrate our sinful behavior, for example, if this man is publicly living in a relationship of sexual relation with his stepmother and goes to the community and behaves in an improper way with this woman in public, this cannot be tolerated. Why not? Because it will be like the yeast that corrupts the whole body. And so in that case, St. Paul is right to say, this has to be stopped. The person doesn't want to change and repent. He must be cast out of the community. Now that presupposes that we are living in a community that has this commitment to a way of life and where there is authority to say this must be stopped. And this is why it is important to have a covenant community where we have this kind of commitment. Now, they were inflated with pride. You see, pride can have two consequences. Because of pride, we can become judgmental and criticize and gossip and condemn. And through pride, we can become lax and accept public behavior that cannot be tolerated. Think, for example, of what happened in the United States when there was this period of time where the shepherds turned a blind eye to priests that were in moral disorder with young people. Think of the drastic consequences of that, especially towards the victims, but also for the whole church. It would have been the loving thing to confront these priests and to stop this situation. But because of laxity and pride and not wanting to confront issues, sin was allowed to continue. And therefore, we see the reason why St. Paul is so concerned. Now, this also presupposes that there is a respect for St. Paul as the authority that he can take this action. Remember that the Corinthians were very much divided in factions, and it's very difficult for a shepherd to be able to confront these issues if there is no unity to accept his ordinance and his direction. And so we see again the importance of unity in order for God to be able to direct a community. Now, what is this about the yeast and the Paschal lamb that he's saying? Well, Jews have this custom whereby women, to prepare for Passover, they have to clean completely their kitchen from all yeast. Symbolically, that represents corruption is being getting rid of. Yeast, you only need a little bit to be able to work out a whole bunch of wheat and raise it up. And so in Passover, this kind of bread that has been fermented is not allowed. So Jews during Passover only eat matzah, this bread that is not leavened. And so St. Paul is making the comparison. Just like a little yeast can transform the whole bread, also a little bit of sin allowed to be there can corrupt the whole community. And so he's saying we have celebrated the feast of Passover, but our Paschal lamb is Jesus himself. And the power of this lamb, the Paschal lamb, Jesus, is to get rid of all corruption. And so if corruption continues, then we are contradicting who we are, and this cannot be. So to celebrate the Holy Mass, to celebrate the Paschal lamb, we have to be like unleavened bread. We have to get rid of corruption and sin. Now let us go to the gospel, Luke 6, 6 to 11. On a certain Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely to see if he would cure on the Sabbath, so that they might discover a reason to accuse him. But he realized their intentions and said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up, stand before us." And he rose and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil? To save life rather than to destroy it?" Looking around at them all, he then said to him, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was restored. But they became enraged and discussed together what they might do to Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. Now remember the first reading. St. Paul is a shepherd, and he calls for the man who is in public sin to be cast out of the, expelled from the community, for his own good and for the good of the community. But now we have shepherds, the Pharisees, who are religious men in charge of the people, who are also judging, but they're now judging Jesus and condemning Jesus. You see, now we see the other danger. The shepherds have to protect the sheep, but if the shepherds become authoritarian and the shepherds are not discerning humbly in light of God, then they do even greater damage and they end up killing God. And so you see the Pharisees are using the law against Jesus, and Jesus is curing on the Sabbath. And they say, you're not supposed to do that. And Jesus is teaching a lesson. There is a purpose for not working on the Sabbath, and that is to consecrate it to the Lord. And now the Lord is here, and the Lord is doing good on the Sabbath, as it's supposed to be. And to prove it, he does something that no man can do on his own. He performs a miracle and heals a withered hand of this man. If those men were seeking God, if those men were humble, they would have understood. Look, the man has performed a miracle. God is acting here. But pride blinded them so much that they were unwilling to repent from their attitude. Notice that they were not seeking really to protect the people. It tells us that they were watching Jesus so that they might discover a reason to accuse him. They already had their own motive. They were just seeking any reason to be able to accuse him. And this is the perversion that is going on. So if we take both readings together, it's a tremendous lesson. We have to take judgments. And sometimes, with great sorrow, as St. Paul says in the first reading, you should have been sorrowful. So you're not acting out of hate, you're not acting in pride. With great sorrow, you have to intervene. And parents have to do that, intervene to correct their children, even if they don't like it. But it's, you know that you're in the right track when you do it with great sorrow that you have to do it. This is not the case of the Pharisees. And so the shepherds and the parents and the priests and the bishops, they have to make decisions, they have to discern, they have to protect the flock. And they have to be at the same time humble and watchful lest they make decisions that are for the wrong motives. May the Lord bless you and protect you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.